Okay, welcome back again for the 1955 Kailua Study Group, Chapter 12, Experiencing the Christ. Now this chapter is very, very, very important. This, together with Chapter 10, will take you right into the Kingdom of Heaven while still tabernacling here on earth. This chapter, chapter 12, will introduce you to Christ. It will bring you the experience of the Christ, if you will follow its suggestions. So let's jump right into it here. When we made the talks, the first degree, the second degree, the third degree, we explained that there was specific stages of development or specific stages of consciousness, stages of the infinite way. He begins by saying that there are no contradictions. This is going to seem as if it will contradict earlier statements and earlier suggestions in the infinite way itself. But it doesn't contradict any of them. There is only a progressive unfoldment into higher steps or into higher states of consciousness. And this that we are going to embark on tonight, this, I just can't tell you how important this is. And so he says here that this does not contradict earlier things. Although, he says, we have been taught to refute the appearance, to reverse it and reinterpret it, and to realize that right where it appeared to be, right there is the activity of Christ. Well, we've been trained, and rightly so, to immediately dismiss the appearance, disregard it, and realize, even if it was only mentally, that the law of God was the only law, or the presence of God was the only presence, or the power of God was the only power. And you can see that that is early infinite way. That's somewhere in the first to second degree. And what we're doing there is we are using really denials and affirmations, aren't we? We're saying that this appearance has no power. That's a denial. But that God is the only power, that's an affirmation. So he says, we have been taught that regardless of the nature of the erroneous appearance, we were supposed to quickly realize that there is no power apart from God. Therefore, there is no power in this effect, in this circumstance, condition, disease, or belief. And so we have been, in all our experience, applying mentally the letter of truth. Until through that, what we call treatment, we arrived at the consciousness of truth, or experience of truth, or realization of harmony. But now we are going to unlearn all of that and come up to a higher experience. Now, this assumes, well, the people that he had gathered together in his living room, that they had been applying truth in just this way. And I know most of you have been doing that too, if not all of you. What I mean is I know personally that several of you have been applying truth just that way. And that's the correct way. We were supposed to do it that way. As he says here, we were trained, and rightly so. That's the right way to apply the letter of truth. But most of us, that's as far as we have gotten. And here he is going to bring us into a higher dimension. Tonight you will enter that dimension, or the key will be given to you to enter that dimension. It's still going to be up to you to use that key. But I'm going to make sure that you do not leave this chapter without knowing what that key is and how to use it. Then it'll be up to you to determine if you do. So, we are not going to contradict any of these earlier teachings. We're just going to unlearn all of that. So he says, today is not contradicting that. We're going higher than that in this special work that we're doing. All right. If you do not know the letter of truth, you really shouldn't be in this class. But I don't think that anybody's here on accident. You know, it's possible that you practiced the letter of truth in your last incarnation, and that's why you just have never been able to do that, because you're ready for something else. So, with that as the basis and foundation of our consciousness, we are ready to take the next step, according to Joel. And what is that next step? Well, it is the experience of God itself. It is the God experience or spiritual experience. It requires no words and no thoughts for a spiritual experience. Words and thoughts, at this level of development, act only as a detriment. That's why if you've been using these words and thoughts and getting no results, they actually are working as a detriment. You just may be ready to move up into this higher approach. Now he says, I said yesterday, I do not know yet whether it is going to be possible for this work to succeed. And later in this chapter, he'll explain why he feels that way. But he really didn't know. I really applaud him. I mean, just really fantastic that he would have the vision, his vision, and put it into action and see if he could bring a group into this higher state. And you have found yourself in the middle of this class. You have been invited to this feast to come up into this higher state. Now, Christ is an experience, and you can pray for the Christ experience, because remember, we in this class can pray for anything we want, so long as it is not of this world. And the Christ experience is not of this world. You see that? All right. Spiritual teaching is done by the state of consciousness behind speech, behind the voice, behind the talk. We know that, right? Do you understand that? It's a spiritual consciousness. What he's leading up to here is that truth can only be imparted by that spiritual consciousness. Not by words, not by thoughts, not even by books, not even by scripture. Always it is the consciousness of the individual. And what is consciousness, really, when you break it down? Well, consciousness is the conscious awareness, or what you are conscious of, what you are aware of, while you are speaking or talking. So if you have the awareness, if you are feeling that Christ presence while you are talking, that awareness, that consciousness is what imparts truth. It's not imparted by a person. It's not imparted by the words they are speaking, or even the thoughts that you are having while you're listening to them. All right. He says, it's a matter of divine grace how far you will get with this. The only control that you have is in the degree of your seeking and striving for it. And I wrote in the margin, is perhaps that 12 times a day shows how badly we want this. The only responsibility that we have is that our desire be for it, and that our willingness to experience it be shown forth by the degree of our studies and meditations. That's the only part that our responsibility plays. The rest of it is the grace of God. Whatever degree of light you achieve automatically makes you in that degree a light to all those who touch your consciousness. And that's without even trying. You bless people. You know, if you ever lose power at your house and you light a candle, that candle, without even trying, lights up the room that you're in. And so does your consciousness light up wherever your consciousness of truth is. But it must be the conscious awareness of truth, not just what you've memorized and learned over the years. It must be the actual awareness of it. Now, he says, I am assuming that you are reading the writings, and insofar as is possible, you are hearing the recordings. In other words, at least exposing yourself to whatever spiritual light has come to us through the infinite way. And that way, then, I am sure that you are at least having the correct letter of truth. And that's the prerequisite for what we're going to do tonight. And all of us have done that or are doing that. Now, with that, our work in this room now is leaving that behind, or rather, leaving it to you to fill yourselves with outside, so that we can take our time in here toward an actual experience itself. That's the point of our work. You see, this chapter is going to lead you, as we started with, right to the experience of Christ itself. So, are we ready? We're assuming that you understand what the correct letter of truth is. If someone sat you down and said, I'm having a problem with my finances, probably your mind would go right to thinking thoughts about, this is an appearance, it's not real, it's nothingness, and God is the only supply, I am supply, the I, Christ, is the only supply, and it is eternal and infinite, and all that the Father has is mine, and so on and so on and so on. So that's assuming you know the letter. And you do know it. You could pass a test on it. If they gave tests to be practitioners, you would all pass, probably. But they don't give tests. The only way to be a practitioner is to have the consciousness of one. And that's what he's going to teach you how to have tonight. So we're going to leave behind the way we have been knowing truth and step into a new realm. And here we go. Take a moment, settle down, ask that you be open, your inner eye, your inner ear be opened, and listen for the truth. The first difficulty you will experience in ceasing from the old form of prayer or treatment is when you begin to observe discords and in harmonies out in the world, because your first reaction will be to return to the way in which you have originally been taught, denying the error and knowing the truth. But now, I would like you to take an entirely brand new, different approach and see what happens. Take specific note of what happens as you individually follow this new approach. All right, now those aren't just words. Those are directions. You must take specific note of what happens as you follow this new approach. Now, here is the basis of the new approach. As I observe discords and inharmonies in the world, I am going to not take thought. I am going to stop. Have no opinion, no judgment. I am going to make no statement of denial or affirmation whatsoever. I am not going to let the human mind into this picture, into this problem, neither by denying nor affirming the truth. So I'm not going to say this is an appearance, this is a nothingness. I'm not going to think it either. I'm not going to say or think only God is here. Nothing. Stop. I'm not going to say it's no part of God, nor am I going to say the only activity is God. I'm going to put the finger on my lips. That's the first part. There's two parts to this. Joel is teaching us how to pray without words and thoughts. Up until now, we've used hundreds, if not thousands, of words and thoughts. And what are our results? Look in the mirror. Look out at your life. Look at the problems that you currently have. What are the results? We are learning to go beyond words and thoughts. God doesn't need your mentality to be involved in this. You can set your mentality aside. So, as you observe discords and inharmonies, you are to take no thought. But if you must, if you can't do that, and the mind must think something, then let it be something like, "Thy grace is my sufficiency." But, and mark this well, this is the second part, it must be something entirely unrelated to the picture. Now, I'm going to give you an example of what I mean. Not that you can follow my example, you need to find your own. Several days ago, when someone wrote me for help, because I get emails all the time asking for prayers and meditations, I tell them, I will work for you right now, right this minute, as soon as I send this off. I close down the mail that I use, the email that I use. I go to my chair. I close my eyes and think no thoughts at all related to this problem, not even truth. But the past few days, what has come to me is I have hidden manna, and that's it. Nothing else. Just, I have hidden manna. Now, that has nothing to do with somebody telling me they're having a problem in interpersonal relationships, or they're having a problem with their health, or they're having a problem with their supply, their finances. That has nothing to do with that, does it? It's totally unrelated. So he's saying, someone comes to you and says, "Gee, would you give me a little help with my backache?" And if you sit down and close your eyes and think, "Thy grace is my sufficiency," well, that's totally unrelated, isn't it? Now, that's exactly what he wants you to do. And he will say it again. So, we can fill our thought with just some statement like that, something that is not pertinent at all to what we are seeing or observing. If it is pertinent to what we're seeing or observing, we have entered the argument. You see that? See what he's saying? He's saying if somebody asks you for help for their supply and you say, I'll get right on it, you are not to close your eyes and think, what is the nature of supply? God is my supply. All that the Father has is my... That stuff's out the window, my friends. With this new approach, No, no, no. Now someone comes and asks you, would you give me some help for my supply? To them you say, Yes, I'll go to work right now. And you hang up the phone or close the email. Then you sit down and... Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That has nothing to do with the problem, does it? And that's exactly what he wants you to do. Why? Well, he's going to tell you. If it's pertinent to what we are seeing or observing, we have entered the argument. We have come into combat with the appearance. We have engaged in battle. But we now are going to stand aside and not enter that human scene. We are going to stand aside without any judgment as to whether this is of the devil or whether it is of God, as if it made any difference really what I thought about it. You remember? We just said the human mentality is not needed. You don't need a human mentality for healing work. Whoa, how about that? It's not required. In fact, it's required to not be. All right, so what he means here is if you see, let's say that you have a personal problem. Let's say that you woke up this morning and your throat's feeling a little sore. And you recognize the symptoms of, oh, I remember last time I had this, gosh, I had, that's where the mind starts, right? Now you're going to sit down, close your eyes, and in the past you would have said, okay, what's the truth? God is the substance of all form. This that's appearing to me, you know, you have just, what he said here, you've just engaged in a battle. You've just locked yourself in. We are taking a new approach. Under the same circumstances, you would feel that sore throat. You would sit down for meditation. And think something, if you must think something, the best approach is to take no thought. But since most of our minds won't accept that, they automatically gravitate to the problem, we are allowed, he said, to take something. So let's say you had that sore throat. You sit down, you close your eyes, and you think something like, the Lord is my shepherd. Period. Well, that seems to have nothing to do with health, does it? Perfect. That's exactly what he wants. So, here where he says, if I must declare something or think something, it will be something like, thy grace is my sufficiency. Now, someone calls Joel and says, Joel, they have just spotted a tumor in an x-ray. Please, I need your help. Joel says, I will help you immediately. He puts down the phone, closes his eyes, and he thinks, thy grace is my sufficiency. Period. That's it. That's all he thinks. You get it? You see the technique or the method? Good. Now, let me show you the principle behind that. Every time you engage in denial or affirmation, you are in the world of either good or evil. You are in the world of appearances or the world of the pairs of opposites, which is the human world. Now, you know healing can't take place in the human world. Right? Right. If you do take thought and manage mentally through metaphysics to change a discord into harmony, you have merely changed one human appearance for another human appearance. You have a happy dream. But you haven't contacted Christ, and the point of this chapter tonight is that you might find the secret to Christ healing, to an experience of the Christ, so that when you sit down in meditation, each and every meditation will be an experience of the Christ, not a mental activity. See, metaphysics are mentally changing a picture, but mysticism is an experience of the Christ, and he's trying to lift us out of metaphysics into the mystical realm. In this new approach, you are no longer either a medical doctor changing sickness into health, or a metaphysician turning a problem a discordant human condition into a harmonious human appearance. No, in this new approach, you are revealing Christhood, because Christhood is the true identity of every individual on the face of the globe. And how? Well, only Christ can reveal Christ. All right, we said in chapter 10 we were going to find out how to pray so that we would make that contact. Here, we are going to find out how to rise above the sea of thought so that Christ can reveal itself. When the Christ is admitted into individual spiritual consciousness, it, of its own accord, eliminates sin, disease, death, lack, and limitation by being the mind that was in Christ Jesus and being the mind of the individual. Now, in this new approach, you are going to learn how to close your eyes in meditation and experience the Christ itself doing the healing. That's quite a bit different from you applying principles. Can we rise above the law, he says down here? Yes, but only in one way, and that is by grace. We come into this experience of the mind which was also in Christ Jesus, which is not a thinking mind or a reasoning mind. No, we have the actual experience of hearing or receiving impartations from the Christ mind. Now, we've all read about that. Joel told us about that for years. He closes his eyes and he hears the still small voice. That is experiencing the Christ doing the healing, rather than sitting down and knowing a lot of truths with the mind. You see the difference? And all of us here in this class are invited to experience the mind which was in Christ Jesus. Now, you're going to have access to the Christ mind, the real infinite, omnipresent Christ mind, omniscient Christ mind. There is a tremendous spiritual power if you can only fill your consciousness with the Christ message of I. But remember, you can't fill it with that message with your mind, with thinking about it. He's going to give us a different way to do that. It's not the words, not the thoughts that will fill it with the Christ message of I, but the presence of I itself. All right, so here it is again. Never enter the world of argument with any discord or inharmony. From now on, if possible, turn from it without any thought, or if necessary, only to occupy your thought and your mind for the moment, let it be with a Christ realization, even though it will have no application to the picture that is before you. Do you understand this? Do you understand the difference from the way we did it in our early days in the Infinite Way, and maybe have been doing it for quite some time, to the way we are doing it now? I remember a healing that took place many years ago. It came out of the clear blue sky when I was standing in the presence of a man ill who they had given up for as dying. I think you remember this story. I believe it's in the Thunder of Silence. He's standing at the foot of the bed or beside the bed and he's saying, "Something had to come to me." I can still remember the words in that chapter. "Something had to come to me or there was going to be a funeral." You remember that? Now, I guarantee you, he's not standing there next to that dying person thinking statements of truth. Don't you see? Joel's very first experience after he had that great meditation with probably, I think it was Brown Landstone, he had that experience with, the deep spiritual experience. He went to him when he had that cold, a really severe cold. And after that experience in his office, within 24 hours or 48 or 72, whatever it was, somebody stopped him and said, "Would you please pray for me? I feel if you would pray for me, I would get better." Remember, he closed his eyes and he said, "Father, I don't know how to pray. And the man tugged on his sleeve and said, "Great, Joel," or the lady, whoever it was, tugged on his sleeve and said, "That's great. The headache's gone. The pain's gone." You remember that experience? I may not have all the details perfectly, but I know the principle. I certainly see the principle. He's giving it to us tonight. The principle was he admitted he didn't know how to pray. That's chapter 10. Chapter 10. Remember, you approach it with humility. "I don't know how to pray. Thy grace is my sufficiency." And wait. Well, here we are at chapter 12. Now he's giving us the secret of silence. Because when he said that to God with his very first experience, "God, I don't know how to pray, Father. I don't even know anything. Thanks, Joel, it's all better." All right? He says himself, he didn't understand how he was doing this. Someone else asked him again a few days later, "Oh, okay, I'll try and pray for you." "Great, Joel, it's better." Well, he didn't understand it. It was baffling to him. It was nothing like Christian Science, where you knew a lot of truths mentally. Nothing at all like that. So he searched and searched. What was happening to him? What is this? A few weeks later or months later, he had 38 calls or whatever it was. No calls for the business. And that's when his partner said, "Why don't you wise up? All these people want you for healing." So he went down and he opened a practice. He still didn't know how he was doing it. It took him quite a long time to discover how he was doing this, how this was happening, what the principles were behind it, and then to formulate it into words so that he could tell us. Well, he's telling us now. And the first thing was, he discovered that the way to true prayer was with humility. Simply closing the eyes, "I don't know how to pray. Thy grace is my sufficiency." And waiting. Waiting for 3 to 4 minutes. Or what did he say? For 30 to 60 seconds, waiting. The whole experience lasting no longer than 3 or 4 minutes. He's trying to take you down the same path that he went, if you will go. And now here's the next part. He's telling you how to enter the silence and have that Christ influence flow through you, into you, as that still small voice, so that you can experience the Christ itself doing healing through you. Now, do you want to come down this road? If you do, you're going to have to do what Joel did when he realized he would have to unlearn everything he learned in the Christian Science organization about knowing the truth and affirmations and denials. We've been doing the same thing with the Infinite Way because we didn't know better. We didn't know another way. All we had to go on was what we were, which was mental and physical beings. So we've been trying to apply the principles and deny the error and affirm God's allness. And now he's saying, okay, we're going to take a new approach. And the new approach to prayer is quite baffling if you've been doing this not even 12 times a day, if you've been doing this a handful of times a day. Chapter 10. You realize you feel kind of silly because you're just standing there saying, "I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to ask for. So thy will be done. Thy grace is my sufficiency." And then you're still and listening. And maybe you haven't felt anything yet. So you feel kind of silly. "Geech, I feel like I'm getting nowhere." But you are getting somewhere. You're opening the inner door so that you can have the real deal, the real Christ experience. And this chapter adds to chapter 10 because it's telling you the right way for you to experience the Christ. So, if possible, turn from it without any thought, or, if necessary, to occupy your thought, your mind, for the moment, with thought, let it be with a Christ realization, even though it will have no application to the picture that is before you. And that's what I was doing the last few days, really earnestly, as much as I could, because I feel like I better be practicing this if I'm going to be talking about it. So, when people have been asking me for help, what came to me was, I have hidden manna. Now, that totally means nothing as far as being pertinent to or pertaining to any of these problems being presented to me. When somebody said that I have a relationship problem, and I turn within and simply occupy the mind with, I have hidden manna, and then get still, that's not related. You can see that, surely. Okay, so that's what he's saying. Now, don't pick that one. Pick the one that you like. If it's thy grace is my sufficiency, great. Stick with that, then. That's just to occupy the mind. If you catch yourself, well, let's see what he says here. So, getting back to this experience at the foot of the hospital bed, the only thing that came into my mind was, man does not live by bread alone. Now, here he is, standing in a hospital. The man's dying. They've given him days, if not hours, to live. He's in an oxygen tent. There's Joel standing there thinking, just like he did that first time, God, I don't know what to say. I can't know any truth. I can't know that this is error and you're all. I can't do anything with my mind that's going to fix this picture. I don't know anything. Please, God, you say something. I'm going to be still. And he got still, and what popped into his mind was, man does not live by bread alone. Now, you know that doesn't match that picture. I mean, we would have gone in there and thought, okay, this is an illusion. This is an appearance. God did not make an illusion. Only God is here. God is the only presence. God is the substance of all form. I am the life. You know, we'd been rolling those things around, right? And the man would have died a few hours later, and we would have thought, wow, I wonder why it didn't work. Here's Joel, little Jewish guy with his funny bow tie on, doing the same thing he did that first day when he said, God, I don't know how to pray. Oh, thanks, Joel. The pain's gone. Now he's standing in the hospital. He's doing what he told you to do in chapter 10. He's standing there saying, I don't have any words of wisdom. Father, give. Say something. If I don't hear something from you, he's going to die. And then he got quiet, he closed his eyes, and who knows what he picked. Maybe he picked thy grace of my sufficiency. But maybe he was at the stage where he didn't have to occupy his mind and it wasn't chattering. One way or another, he got quiet. And what popped into his mind was, the impartation he received was, man shall not live by bread alone. Well, that had no application at all to this sick guy in front of him. Did it? Mentally, that doesn't make any sense. The mind does. It says, what? But let me tell you what it does have. It doesn't have any application to the picture in front of him. It does have the power of Christ. And the man got up and walked away within 5 minutes. So now we can have these pretty little, nice little neat packages where the mind says, ah, this principle applies. That principle applies, and watch people die. Or we can learn this new approach, and we can have something totally unrelated be imparted to us, which has the power of Christ behind it, and see the dead get up and walk. Which do you want? I know which one I want. So it means I'm going to have some uncomfortable moments while I practice this new approach, because it's a brand new approach. I'm going to be uncomfortable doing this. Just like I feel sort of silly when I close my eyes and say, I don't know what to pray for. Pray for anything you want, so long as it's not of this world. I don't know what to pray for. You speak. I'm still. And just sit there quiet for 30 seconds and don't feel anything. That feels kind of silly. Kind of uncomfortable. The mind wants a an approach that makes sense and it's reasonable and analytical and backed up by principles. Oh, bloody, bloody, blah. The mind created this problem in the beginning. That's the whole reason of that sick person in front of you. That's the very mind that did that. We have to set that aside, and this is what he's teaching us to do. So let's get back to this. What came into my mind was, man does not live by bread alone. That had no more application to the scene that I was witnessing than anything you can imagine. But the healing was instantaneous. Isn't that what we want? An immediate, instantaneous realization and demonstration of that Christ is, rather than something that makes sense. And it was instantaneous because it was the Christ mind, not the human mind. Now, remember, he did not think this. It came into his mind from the Christ mind. It was imparted. And so he says on the next page, you say, well, you had no part in that. Well, and I'll admit it, because I didn't. I didn't think that thought consciously. That was something that popped into my head. But remember, he's practiced and practiced and practiced this new technique. It's a little bit easier for him because by now he knows where it has to come from and what it feels like when it comes from there. We are new. We are neophytes. And we're just learning this, but we're going to learn it. All right. If I had just made that up to fit the case, the healing would not have taken place. That's why I say, don't search around in your thought for some thought or truth that is applicable, because you'll miss the mark, which is a sin. The further you can get away from any statement that applies to the situation, the better off you will be, your patient will be, and your own experience will be. And I just put wow in the margin. What else can you say? Wow. Wow. Just wow. The further you get away from any statement of truth that applies to the situation, the better off you will be, and your patient will be, and your own experience. And that's why for the past few days, weeks, really, I've been using, sometimes, most of the time, I have hidden manna. It makes no sense. It doesn't fit any of these problems people are bringing to me. It keeps the mind occupied so that I can listen. So, what good are all the Infinite Way books, he says? The only good they are is that they have brought us to this state tonight where we can no longer rely on them. Isn't that something? All these books, all these years, all this study has been for the one purpose, so that you could no longer rely on any of it. It's beautiful. I love it. In other words, gradually, we will use less and less of the letter from here forward and receive more and more of direct spiritual unfoldment from within. Because there comes a moment of transition to everybody where you don't take in anymore, where it pours out. And that's what we want, really. My job is to help you get to the point where you don't need me or any books or any teachers, where you make that contact. You have that inner Christ experience, and you almost have it at will. Then that Christ will take you, well, it'll make you fishers of men, because then you will help others up. And others up, and others up to the same state. But you can't do it until you've passed through this experience, which is really uncomfortable in the beginning. He tells you that. hope I can get through this tonight. Okay, here's the practice. In being aware of the discords of human existence, instead of drawing on denials and affirmations, instead of drawing on your head, your thinking, your memorized truth, now you are to stand stock still. Let the Father give you the necessary truth for the situation. That is the way. Never go back to draw anything from the writings or even from Scripture. This is hard. This is going to be like floating in the ocean without even a life preserver. But we must pass through this initiation if we would have the Christ experience and be done with these god-awful words and thoughts. When I am called upon for help, I sit down in an atmosphere of expectancy, if I have to sit down. Sometimes I'm walking or out here under the trees. Sometimes I'm eating. Regardless, I am in a receptive state of thought. I wait for the Father to give me the answer. And so it is. When I am asked personally for help, notice my attitude. It's always one of listening. And then, if I have anything to say, saying it. This is to bring you to the point of experiencing the Christ. That's the point of this chapter, to experience the Christ mind and its impartations. You just turn within and wait until some truth comes to you. It doesn't have to come in words. It doesn't have to come in thoughts. Eventually, you'll find that it comes in just a feeling of release. Release. And you know all is well. And this is how it's coming to me, my friends. This is how it's coming to me, in a feeling of release. Now, that is the experience of the Christ. That is the point I am trying now to see if all of us cannot embody. The method? Do not engage in controversy with any form of error. Stand still. If you must think a thought, at least think something that has no bearing at all on the situation. Something like, divine grace is sufficient, period. So that your thought isn't directly meeting or responding or refuting the problem. Do you see that? That's what he says. And I put, and that's all. He's trying to bring us up higher to the experience. This is what gives the Christ an opportunity to come to you in experience. All right, now here's the bombshell. Ready? Later on, you will follow the same method with all the harmonies. Once you have achieved the slightest degree of success in meeting the discords, the next thing that will present itself to you is this. You will learn to follow the same practice when you see youth, health, vitality, or wealth. You will learn to look right through it. You will learn to clear your thought in this same spiritual way so that the Christ can show you the truth about what even appears as good. Just as you want Christ to reveal the truth about a discord and in harmony, you had better want Christ to reveal the truth about a good human appearance. Both must go. The good humanhood also must be dissolved. By first training ourselves with these evidences or appearances of discord and inharmonies to close our mind to the picture and permit the Christ to reveal the true nature of being, Then we must prepare ourselves for the next step, which is to look out at beautiful trees, beautiful plants, animals, wonderful youth, and be able not to think good thoughts about them, but wait, wait patiently for the Christ to reveal the truth about them. Well, we're not going to go off into that right now. That's the next step. Just know it's off there waiting. Right now, all we're trying to do is learn how to do this with the inharmonies that are presented, and there are plenty of them, so that we can learn the technique. Both the opposites must go to die completely and awaken to the spiritual kingdom here and now. But right now, for our purposes, for chapter 12, we are going to learn how to do this with the inharmonies, with the error that's presented, and there's plenty of it. But in the end, this is going to bring us to a generation that no longer thinks humanly, no longer feels humanly, and no longer lives humanly, but begins to live in their and through their Christhood. Now, there will never be such a generation as this. This is his vision again. Unless there is one individual to start it. And it never will go very far unless there are 12, or in our case 10, to carry it on and impart it. And even then it won't go too far unless there are 70 and 200. Then we can embark on the way. The way of what? The way of transforming the entire collective consciousness on Earth. That's not that big a task, is it? There is no literature of the world, ancient or modern, that reveals this truth. There is none that reveals the way to attain this Christhood. And I wrote in the margin, this being imparted to us tonight is the way to attain Christhood. This is it. At no period in the world's history has it been able to impart this to a group so that a group could attain it and maintain it. Now, he says, I firmly believe that because we have the correct letter of truth in the writings to practice and remember, through it we can achieve a sufficient degree of Christ consciousness so that we can go out and practice this that we are being given tonight. Is it clear to you that a man isn't trying to do this today? This is the first time these words have been voiced, so that these 10 years have been a preparation for this. So he's waited 10 years to try to take a group up to this new approach, so that they too may have the mind that was in Christ Jesus actually working through them. And this is Christ itself imparting to each of you, individually, tonight, the invitation. Will you follow Christ? Somewhere, he says, somehow, some group has to be in the world with their fingers on their lips for a long time, not telling this, not teaching this, but demonstrating it, achieving some measure of that mind which was in Christ Jesus, so that by their fruits they shall be known. All right. And I believe that's us. Now, on the next page he says, I have loved my work for 25 years, bringing some measure of health, supply, peace to many, many people, and now through the writings and recordings to thousands of people. But it isn't enough. It isn't enough. Nothing is enough until through the activity of the Christ we can change and transform the entire human experience. And there's his vision. It isn't enough to heal the multitudes. It isn't enough for Joel to heal the multitudes. There must be an activity of Christ bringing about these healings. So we won't need the Jesuses, or the Joels, or the Mary Baker Eddies, or the Myrtle Fillmores, or any of those noble souls in the past who have led up by their work to this very moment. Unless this world is full of the presence of Christ, it'll always be the same old story. And I wrote, how is it filled with the presence of Christ? Can you answer that? You should. It's filled by the presence of Christ by you, each of you individually, releasing it through the method we have learned tonight. An activity of Christ in human experience, whereby everyone can reach out to this Christ, hasn't happened yet. He's talking about his circle of Christhood, his vision. We can attain that mind, or some measure of that mind, which was in Christ Jesus, and watch the world benefit from it. Not from our personal activity, from it. Then will we have something to show forth to the world. Now, he's going to tell you, as you practice this new approach, what the difficulty is going to be. Now, says he, the first difficulty is going to appear as you behold evidences of sin, disease, death, lack, and limitation, and are tempted to do something about it. First humanly, and then through thinking. The first temptation is going to be resist the temptation to do right thinking. Find some statement of the Master's to fill your thought instead, so that you do not refute the appearance before you or enter into controversy or argument with it. Now that's our method. I think we have that, right? Stand aside and realize something like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You say, that's meaningless. Good! The more meaningless it is, so let it be. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. I just love that. The mind goes, blah, 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 blah. Yes, the more meaningless it is, the better. Why? The mind has not done anything for us in all these umpteen years we've been practicing these principles. Aren't you fed up with it? I am. Well, all right. Let's have a Christ experience by practicing this new way. Stand aside and realize I am the way, the truth, and the life, or whatever you like to realize. It can change every few days, too. That's fine. So long as it's meaningless, insofar as pertaining to the problem or the problem solution. We do not want, through the power of thought or reason, to meet a situation ever again, but through the Christ. Remember that statement. We do not wish, through reason, to meet a case, but through Christ, the Christ which passeth human understanding. And here he has, in all capitals, so he must have been saying it loud, right, Sharon? Christ is the activity that takes place in your consciousness when no thinking is going on. That's worth repeating. Christ is the activity that takes place in your consciousness when no thinking is going on. Now, if you want to experience the Christ, you're going to have to use this technique, this method, this new approach to trick your thought so that you're no longer thinking in terms of denying the error, nor are you any longer thinking in terms of thinking statements of truth. All of that must go. You are allowed one statement that the mind can occupy itself with, as you become still and receptive to something called Christ. And if you haven't experienced it, continue with those 12 times a day and use this new approach when you are confronted with problems. Christ is the activity that takes place within you when no personal effort is going on. I've been hinting at this now for months. I know I have. I've been hinting at it. Only the presence can demonstrate the presence. Only Christ can reveal the Christ. What are some of the other ones? I can't even think of them now. But I wrote them down, and I've read them, and I've put them in talks. Because I am trying to prepare you for the same thing, the experience of the Christ. Christ is the activity that takes place when you have no personal effort. Like that dream that we talked about. You don't have to work that hard. Christ is here. I, Christ, is here. You don't have to work that hard. I am here. Now, Christ is the activity that takes place when you are using no personal effort. When you're not trying to heal, when you're not trying to improve, when you're not trying to reform, when you're not trying to change anything, simply when you're standing still in your Christhood, then the activity of Christ comes into expression. Do you see that? I'm sure you do. You may not have experienced it, but you darn well see it. The Christ is hidden. When you're taking thought, the Christ is hidden. The activity of the Christ is not present when you're thinking. Now, that's not the same thing as... Please pay attention here to the difference. Here he's talking about when you're joining in the battle. That kind of thinking. Thinking statements of truth, denying the error, affirming God, thinking scriptures, what will meet this problem. Oh, I remember last week or three Thursdays ago I met it with this, so let me think that again. Okay? God, only God is here, only God is here, only God is here. All of that. This is error, it's nothing, God didn't make it, it has no power, only God has power. All of that. Anything that you can think that applies, any principle you can think of that applies to this situation, all of that. No, he's not talking about taking a statement such as, I have hidden manna, or thy grace is my sufficiency, just to occupy the mind off here in a corner. That's not the kind of thinking he's talking about. You can let it do that. Just give it a pebble, play with. Give it a marble. Just so long as you're not doing this thinking and joining in this battle. All right? No. The activity of Christ is not present when you're thinking. When you can come to that point of absolute humility, which is what he did when he said, God, I don't know how to pray, what he's trying to bring you to when you say, well, I don't know how to meet this, so thy grace is my sufficiency. What do you got to say, God? You know, what do you got to say? I don't know how to do it. Same way he did, standing out on that street. That's the kind of humility he's talking about. I can, in my own self, do nothing. When you come to that point of absolute humility, well, then you stand still. See, if you're really feeling the humility, you're going to stand still, aren't you? You're not going to be thinking all these thoughts like you can do something. You're going to be standing still in thought, with your ears wide open, your inner ear, waiting. I love that word, waiting. That's why you wait for those 30 to 60 seconds. You're practicing. You're coming up. You're getting ready. You're going to have the Christ experience. And so you're waiting and giving God the opportunity to come out into expression. That is when Christ will have the opportunity to fulfill itself in your experience. Now, the moment we come into any place with complete silencing of human thought, or wish or will, and wait until the activity of the Christ touches our consciousness, then the room is full of the presence of Christ, then and then only. And I can tell you, and I've only been practicing this for a couple of years now, when people call me and they have a problem, if I have these statements of truth rolling around in my mind that I just know meets this problem because I met it last Tuesday, there is no healing. There's no activity of Christ. There's an activity of Bill's mind, and it's yucky. It's horrible. It does nothing. Gives me a headache eventually. But I can take the same situation, and I can say something like, Thy grace is my sufficiency, and just wait. And sometimes I'm flooded with the presence. And this is a wonderful thing, because wouldn't it be horrible if you and I did the healing? Wouldn't it be horrible? How wonderful this is that we can't do anything. We're totally dependent on this Christ coming forward. How wonderful that is when we learn how to contact it. And we know it's not us. Any healing that's ever happened because that Christ flowed into me, let me tell you, I know that wasn't me. All right. So it's wonderful, really, that it has to be this way. It's beautiful. So there must be a complete silencing of the human will, human desire, so that the activity of Christ can penetrate the atmosphere and fill all space. And so it's the same way with healing. There is a way to bring health, harmony, comfort, and peace into every room into which we go. That way is not the way of thinking. If this has been a long time practice with you, this is going to be very uncomfortable for a few weeks. It's not the way of thinking, not the way of speaking or carrying any message with words or thoughts. No, the way is our ability to be there, whether sitting, standing, or walking, or talking, with one area of our consciousness open, so that the Christ itself can come into expression. I can assure you, you can only keep it out by your speech and thought. All the reciting of these nice metaphysical statements, even scriptural promises, they are hindrances now to the activity of the Christ. All right? They've got to go. You're at the place where you're ready to go beyond words and thoughts. And so they have to go. And they do that by this new approach, which we're all taking. We're training ourselves to be done with them. It's going to be uncomfortable for a little while, but worth it. Worth every bit of it. So, when you're actually living about your business all the rest of the day, don't think thoughts. Keep yourself receptive to an inflow of thoughts so that it breaks through into your consciousness, it being Christ. Thereby you have the experience of the Christ, and this is the only way. As you go about your day's work, as you go about anywhere where you become conscious of the presence of discord or in harmony, instead of stating truth from now on, resist the temptation to state any truth. Stop it. Stop. Let this other thing come through, and this will be an experience of the Christ. It will bless all those within range of your consciousness. You won't, it will. Your part will be waiting, really. Now, eventually, as I said, you will go through this same procedure when you witness the harmonies of life, when you witness a beautiful sunset. You will turn also and open a way for the Christ experience to come, so that you can rightly see the sunrise or the sunset as it is, or the mountain scene. This will ultimate in the activity of the Christ being a constant experience. Not achieved, not attained at a certain moments in the day or night. It will be a constant state of being. Now, this is a promise. But you must do this work. Don't start now with the sunsets and harmonies. Tonight, we're just starting with the discords. There's plenty of those. You become proficient at those. Then start including the other. And you will find this becomes, well, let's hear it in his word. The time eventually comes where you pass from living your own life to having your life lived for you and through you, where you become nothing more than an instrument for this divine experience to live itself. You go where you're sent, and when you're sent, you have no will of your own, no wish of your own, no desire of your own. You never have supply of your own. You don't have health of your own. It is always an it that is living its own life, and you are just going along for the ride. Why? Because you've died to humanhood. Now, achieving that state of consciousness begins in this way. First, because the discords and inharmonies of existence are the most irritating to us, and therefore they announce themselves more forcefully to us. And so it is that in those moments we will now, you and I, each of us in this class, will now train ourselves to resist the temptation to deny or affirm or to think any thoughts, even good ones, that are related or pertain to this that we are observing. No, we will give an opportunity for the Christ to announce itself in and through us, in us and through us, and if necessary, to engage our minds while we are waiting for this experience. We will take any one of the Christ messages, those that begin with the word I, or that have some such significance as I or God. Then he gives you some examples. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thy grace is my sufficiency. The Lord God in the midst of me is mighty. I got one tonight. It was, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. That wasn't, I guarantee you, that was not related at all to the problem the person wrote me with. Yet they wrote me right back and said, fabulous, thank you. Now, just remember that whatever statement you take, it cannot pertain to the problem or its solution. Anything that reveals our awareness of the fact that there be a Christ, and if we give it opportunity, then the Christ will come into expression. Our stating truth and thinking truth does not bring it into expression, but our refraining from the statement of truth and thinking truth brings it, as long as behind it we have the inner consciousness of the correct letter of truth. And I wrote, may we all go and do likewise. Amen. All right, that's chapter 12. And I guarantee you, with the way you're praying in chapter 10, if you now take this approach in chapter 12 and add it to that, you are so close to experiencing the Christ, I can't even put it into words. You are going to have the experience. It's imminent. Joel's vision is that a small group like us will grasp these principles, actually live them, learn to live by every word that proceedeth out of the withinness of us when we're not thinking, and become that Christ on earth, which will transform the consciousness of mankind, so lifted that future generations will be born into this consciousness, this awareness. That's really quite a vision. I think it's fabulous. And who gave him that vision, do you suppose? You suppose he read it in the newspaper somewhere or in a book? You know as well as I do that was an impartation from within. It's Christ's vision. And now I hope it's yours. God bless, my friends.